Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Welcome to Gateway Church. I know some of you are local and some of you are from interstate and some of you are overseas. We just want to give you a special welcome to our worship today. We are beginning a new series and you just came at the right time for this. But before we go into that, I just want to praise the Lord for what God is doing in Gateway Church family. And it's good to share the news and to enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. So today I'm just going to give thanks that God has been with us. It's been about 7 months since we've been doing digital church, broadcasting church. You know, we have broadcast facilities now that has been, and capacities now have been set up in homes. Like now, you have Brother Joe Tan and Joe Litteraku. We have Henry and Daryl and Iwan setting the place in We Explore Center. We have Pastor Chris Guo setting up a place in the West. So the capacity to do broadcast has grown dramatically. And I just want to thank God for that. And today I'm broadcasting from my home here. And I praise the Lord that we can do this kind of work. You know, God is creating new opportunities. More people are coming to know, even just from the last evangelistic Life After Life seminar series. We have found people are coming online to hear the three angels' message, the everlasting gospel. We're so excited, and there'll be more testimonies that's going to come out to share about that. But I also know that some of you were very disappointed with the news on Sunday, the announcement by the Premier of Victoria, and those of you living in Melbourne, you understand the challenge that we all face. The sense of uncertainty, the sense of whether this threshold could be met, the sense that what about my business, the pain about my job, my businesses, my children education, homeschooling at home again, you know, the whole emotion and the mental stress and anguish is very real. And so if you come to worship today, I know the Lord will bring you peace in your heart today, because we know that a lot of people are struggling with that. You know, there have been changes as well in our church in terms of our facility being used. We have seen changes that we want to run communion service, but this has been held off. There are people that are wanting to be baptized. And I remember the quick change that had to be made so that Tiana and Sean could be baptized before stage four. Praise the Lord for that. But, you know, there are some more that want to be baptized. But, you know, all these restrictions have made it quite difficult. So there's a mixed emotion in the heart. There's a sense that, yes, things are coming down. The cases are coming down. We're thankful that God has protected our members, those in their livelihood and their health. Yeah, but there is this mixed feeling. You know, our changes even happened to our Life After Life seminars. We had to adapt that and to learn from that process of doing online digital seminars, broadcasting to different channels. You know, we live in very, very interesting times. And I just sense that God is stirring the hearts of men and women. God is stirring your heart. God is stirring my heart and letting me know that things are happening in this world for a purpose. It doesn't just happen as if God is not in control and that God is not sovereign, He's not aware. And there's always that kind of thinking that perhaps we can get over to the other side and we're back to normal again. Remember I showed this chart a few months ago in the early days of the first lockdown. And I said the big question, is it anyone's guess how long this will be that things will open up at the campus or at the church? I don't know. You know, we know that it might be 5 to 10 people or 20 people, but all this depending on the caseload and the thresholds. And yet we are told that the scientists are telling us that things are happening rapidly. So, you know, there's a saying that we need to get back to the COVID norm, you know, right? We're going to go through stage 4 down to COVID norm. We'll get over to the other side. But really, my friends, I don't think it's a COVID norm. I think we're going to get to an end time norm, all right? I don't think it's a COVID normal that we're going to go after here. We're going to get to an end time normal. End time norm is right before us. And God is doing this. And that's why this sermon series is so important. People ask me, Johnny, what will Gateway be like in a year's time? What will 2021 plans look like? Now, no one can foretell the future, but I know one thing for sure. God wants us to do three very important things today. three things that are the building blocks that make what make Gateway as a church family. Three very important building blocks. The first one is to continue our strong small groups, whether it be online, whether it be on, whether it be face to face when restriction is. We must not lose touch of the loving relationship that is fostered with friends and our members together. Strong care groups, strong home groups that has the Word of God, the food that we can share together when that allows. Prayer and sharing. We all miss eating together, isn't it? We all miss gathering together in our care groups. And, you know, and even for worship in the morning, we miss having lunch together. But, you know, in Gateway, we have our care groups. I tell you, many churches don't. So when the program stops because of this COVID-19, everything stops. But we are blessed. God has given us the foundational building block of having care groups. And care groups is really essential. We also have introduced home groups, the concept of getting home gathering on Saturday morning to study the Word of God together and to digitally go into Zoom or online church together so that we can remain connected with one another as the bigger body of Christ. You know, this is something that's so important, and Christ needs to be in the center of it all. We've been talking about this as a direction of the church. This is one of the first important things. If we could synergize all our members that are living across Melbourne and have home groups or care groups set up all over the place, it creates a mission hub, a place where people can find Jesus, a place people can find care. You know, we don't want to be in isolation. It's been 5-6 weeks. All of us don't like this stage four, and it's impacting our emotional well-being. And, you know, by having a caring community, it makes a big difference, isn't it? I know recently in my care group, some people have been sharing how wonderful, how important this care group is to them. And I think it's important to you and me as well. So that's the first thing. The second thing that we must continue this year and into next year is this concept of digital church. Even if restriction ease, even if they allow 50 people or 20 people to come to church, and I've seen this overseas where people, there's social distancing sitting, there is two worships or three worship services to cater for the membership, and then there's no lunch and people have to depart from there. You know, I still think that there is a good portion of our people that will still want to come on digital church, especially vulnerable people or even those that feel comfortable to come this way. This is not going to go away. This is not going to go away. I think digital church presence enlarges the reach of the everlasting gospel. So this is something we'll continue to do. Our church will be a center of influence, and not only that, a channel of influence. And that's going to be bigger and bigger. There's a lot of things going on with different initiatives. I'm so thankful that different people are trying different things and innovating, and our members are just amazingly creative and innovative. I'm thankful for what God has given, the gift of the talent. You know, some people say back in March that, you know, we want to get over to the other side. And then it'll be normal again. We'll get over to the other side and we'll just do home groups or care groups. We'll do digital church. And then once we get over the other side, it'll be normal. We'll be back to normal again. I don't think so. I think we're in end time norm. I think there'll be more. The scientists are telling us there are multiple waves that's going to come. When there's no vaccine solution, you will see resurgence of a new spread all around the world. This is happening. And so I think that not only we need to have strong small group and digital church, something that is clear for Gateway as a family, as a church that we need to work on is to have a digital cycle of evangelism. A digital cycle evangelism. You see, if we're only thinking small groups and digital church, we're just having a week-to-week mentality. And I think that week-to-week mentality is saying, well, let's survive week-to-week and hopefully we'll get back to normal again. And then we'll start doing what we used to do before. No, I think that's gone. Things have changed. I think what God wants us to learn is to learn to do a digital cycle evangelist that including sowing, cultivating, harvesting, and nurturing. Digital marketing, digital sowing, digital cultivating, digital harvest, digital nurturing, and discipleship. This is going to happen more and more. So a full cycle is what God wants us to develop. This is a strategic thinking. This is not a week-to-week thinking. Some people say to me, well, why can't we run more... if we focus purely on digital church programs on Saturday morning, that's a week-to-week thinking. I have nothing wrong with that, so long as it fits within a cycle of evangelism. It fits in a cycle to share the gospel because we live in momentous time. So if we think small groups or care groups or home groups, we're thinking people-focused rather than program-focused. And God wants us to be people-focused because the church is about people, isn't it? Church is not about the programs, about the buildings, about the infrastructure. Church is about people. And so focusing on that, focusing on connecting people through the digital church and building a psycho evangelism, and that's where innovation needs to come in. We need to try and do different things differently, because it's not business as usual now, it's business unusual. You know, we used to do this in person on campus, those of you doing campus ministry, where we kind of agree to a particular formula. We're so used to this formula, right? And then university all week, and then we do a welcome dinner. I still remember when before we introduced a welcome dinner, we made many mistakes when we're doing this psycho evangelism. We were putting too much stuff on the all week table, and people were confused what we were introducing. But being clear on one thing to promote on all week was so important. And that was a lesson we learned by trial and error. And God is teaching us today in digital psycho evangelism that we have to try different things. But you know, this is gone. We don't do welcome dinner, introduce the club, social outing, go on a boat trip in Studley Park, right? Remember all this stuff, right? We're good in doing this stuff. And then we bring up the care group and do Bible lectures, and then we do discipleship. But my friends, this is gone. It's not going to come back. University is closed for the moment. And it's probably closed for a while, okay? This is gone. Bible lectures at the facility is gone. Care groups have moved into Zoom, right? So the outreach approach for campus, we have to think creatively again and say, and there's no harm trying different things. And I'm so glad that different people are innovating with our online church, with Live More projects, Mustard Seed on Chinese camp. We're innovating, we're trying different things. But don't forget, these three components must fit together. The small groups, digital church, and a digital psycho evangelism. Whatever we do here must fall within sowing, cultivating, harvesting, and nurturing. And that's the direction we're heading as a church. Whether we run Aussie Culture Workshop at Monash. And this is an experiment. And I'm glad we're experimenting with this, you know, and trying different things and doing this online. Partnering with an education agency for those who are studying distance learning into Australia, right? Doing this online is an experiment. And we learn from that. Let's be faithful in doing what we're doing in creative and innovative approach to share the gospel in this end time norm that we live in. We also realize that besides that, we got to learn about digital marketing. And this is a process we as a church are blessed with many members, and many of you are talented with marketing skills from corporate life. God knows this is for such a time as this. We need your skill to share to the brothers and sisters in the church on how we can share the gospel in digital marketing. I was looking at this, you know, the trending search on Google in Australia. It's very interesting. In 2019, the number one trending search for food is plant-based recipe. No surprise, because, you know, vegetarian is about 6%, vegan vegetarian is about 6%, flexitarian is about 12%. Flexitarians are people who are trying Green Monday, taking one day a week, you know, they're taking off certain meat product or red meat, and they are being flexible, and they are searching for plant-based recipe. So when we study the market, we study the demographics, we say, let's just try different things. Let's try a plant-based cook together. So Tuesday night, we're doing this, cook together, inviting people to come. We're doing Sunday plant-based cooking, inviting people to come. But it all must fit in a cycle. Besides just doing digital marketing, doing the workshops, doing the seminars, we need to bring them to the next step. So what I'm admonishing the church today is that we need to plan, because 2021 is going to come real quick on us. But you know, God wants us to be saying, to know that we live in a time that is an opportunity. Hearts are turning to God, you know. I can tell you two or three stories from our evangelistic program with the Life After Life, and to see people turning and responding to God, people responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's really exciting. So put these three things together, and that's where we're going, because this is so important to link that up. And every ministry, every care group, every church working together will make this happen. Yes, you know, we could just tell you all the bad news, you know, that there are things happening in this world. For example, this report from Oxford University, the one that is helping to develop the vaccine that Australia has invested lots of money to purchase. It says this: the threat of disease passed from animals will only increase, Oxford University vaccine professor warned. Goes on to say the spread of zoonotic disease is likely to become more common. This is passing from animals to human beings. who is leading the development of Oxford University COVID-19 vaccines, says this: the world is becoming more globalized. The risk of systemic disease will continue to escalate. Now, I'm sure you heard enough of bad news, you know, our case numbers. You know, people's mood and emotion almost goes up by the case numbers and how many deaths in every day that's reported in the news. I want to tell you something today. Gateway is not a church that's just going to tell you, don't be fearful. Don't be worried. We will tell you that message because the Bible tells us that. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God truly will give you peace, even though things are uncertain in this world. You know, Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. That's what we want to do. We want you to trust in God. But trusting in God does not mean that God does not give us a roadmap of what's happening in the world today. You see, when I trust somebody, I can trust them to take me on a journey. And as we go on the journey to travel to a destination, there are signboards that shows us what is happening that confirms my relationship with the person that's driving to bring me there. These signboards are very useful for us to build our faith and trust. And you know, my friends, in the Word of God, God has given us the signboard. God has given us the prophetic message, the eschatological message of what is happening in the world that we live in today. Yet, even though we know the signboards, we're driving down the road, we see the signboards as we're driving, even though we know the signboard, we can have hope and courage in these last days. We can truly feel at peace. You say, there's no point being just a church to tell you, oh, just have hope, just have courage. But don't tell you what's happening in terms of the waymarks that's happening, that the Bible prophecies are telling us. I don't think that's right. In fact, I don't think many churches are preaching this. I think the Seventh-day Adventist, the Gateway Church, is one of the few churches that would say, have hope, have courage, and this is the waymark. This is where we're going, because God is showing it in the Bible, and the Bible is the Word of God. We have confidence in it because all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So in these coming 9 weeks, we're going to talk about hope and courage. And we're going to cover 9 very important topics, including things like the shaking, which is going to be covered next week. And how do you have hope and courage during this time? Including things like heaven, the paradise, and the promise of God. Including things like the revival, the strange economic times that we lived in. Including false revival and true revival, the seal of God. We're not going to just talk about the waymarks and how does and doesn't apply to us. We're going to talk about the waymarks, but also we're going to learn how to have hope and courage during that time and how to prepare, how to do the part that God wants us to do. We are blessed with so much counsel in the gift of prophecy God has given the church that we can be guided along this path and have great hope that God's people will be sealed. And even when the 7th last plague comes, God's people can be at peace with God. And that's what the series is all about in the next 9 weeks. Very exciting topics. And I know God will bless you as you stay and follow through this series. You're going to be blessed. You're going to take a notebook, bring a pen and paper. Pray in your heart for the speakers. Pray for yourself that God will lead us step by step by step. Let us pray as we go into our study this morning. Father in heaven, this morning as we open your word, we ask for your Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts. We ask that we will find peace in the message. We ask that you will give us time to prepare and know what to do for ourselves and our family. Oh Father, we live in momentous time. We live in a time that I believe Jesus is coming soon, and you're giving us time, your people, the Gateway family and other people in the world to be ready for your soon coming. So, Father, bless our study as we look into your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I hope you have your Bibles with you, because as we study the word of God, we're going to look into the word of God. You know, this chart of getting over the other side is something people was hoping for to happen in Victoria and in Australia. And even Singapore or Korea, people are hoping for that. But that's not happening. You know, student life has changed a lot. Classrooms are empty. The lecture halls are silent. The corridors of the university. Students living in one city now do online learning with a university at another city. graduates, young graduates are wondering, what is my job future? You know, you look at all the industry indices, you know, all the performance have dropped dramatically for certain industry. You know, if I'm doing this course in energy and material, is there a future for me? Yes, if I'm doing course in healthcare, there is a future for me. So people are thinking, what is happening to my career? What happened to my future? With the economic disasters, that is going to environmental issues. We have a recession at the moment. I could relate to that because when I graduated in Australia, we had the recession we ought to have. If some of you remember that, those of you old enough, you know, it was called the Banana Republic. Remember that. So we are living in very interesting time. Even for those of you who are just graduating and you're worrying about what is essential industry, what's non-essential industry. You know, you want to get a job in the airline at the moment. You know, the pilots are all grounded around the world. So these are big issues. What about families? You know, families are going through major adjustment at the moment. There's a cry for the struggle for every family. The time taken to homeschool their kids was, you know, it's not even homeschooling. It's actually schooling at home. You know, there's an issue between screen time versus green time. A lot of kids are spending too much time online. It means remote learning for thousands and thousands. You know, families, you can relate to that. It's almost like 24 hours at home with the kids and wondering what to do. But you know, it actually raises up a possibility of homeschooling, doesn't it? I wonder which school will be innovative and say, maybe there's no need to go back to school, but we can supplement that with online learning. I wonder what schools would try different models that perhaps homeschooling by and support of the family, the parents, may make a big difference. You know, we see changes as well, even in the workplace. Is this the death of the office? This is an interesting report by in The Economist. The office space is empty. There are offices that are costing industry suggests about $10,000 US per person per year, per year, employee space. You know, that's a lot of money. So much so that some of the large companies are asking people, to telling their staff, we are permanently working from home. Fujitsu, Uber, Twitter are telling their staff, knowledge-based staff particularly are being told, no need to come back anymore. We're going to work from home. And if you need to come back, working from work in the office is mainly just for meetings. This is the change that's happening around the world. Cities have dramatically become desolated. There is infrastructure, there's a cost to all this, and but yet you see also issues in the city. You know, there are people who are rebelling, who are protesting. They're concerned about their civil liberties. They're concerned about their religious liberties. We see riots and protests, looting around the world. You know, if there was no coronavirus, it'd probably be more. But last year in 2019, there was tremendous number of issues in the city dealing with the virus, things got worse. Some of the cities, like in India, they had a massive challenge. India's facing an amazing challenge at the moment, 90,000 plus cases a day. More, the one day is more than all the cases that's seen in other countries. You know, the movement control issues in the city, where you cannot travel more than certain kilometers, that impinge on the liberty. And so people are wondering, is city a place to live? Is this a place we want to bring up our family? Now with working from home opportunity, schooling from home opportunities, people's hearts are thinking, so much so that regional real estate is becoming popular. I was just opening our local paper in Marysville, and I saw the real estate page, and on every in one page, every property was on offer, was under contract. People are considering the move, secular people. But what about believers of Jesus Christ? What about people who understand the Bible prophecies? Are we going to be prepared and know when to move and how to move? Is the city going to be the hotbed of vice, which is what would happen in the future? How do we prepare for that? Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 verse 14. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24 that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. As a witness, all right? It is preached as a witness. So that means God's people needs to be involved in that, to all nations, and the end will come. You know, this pandemic is really going to all the world. I wish the gospel virus can go all the world as quickly as the pandemic. But God knows the sin virus has been going through all over the world. And there is need for hope. There needs for peace in people's heart. But you know, we also know from Bible prophecy, especially if you go to Revelation 14, and thank you for reading the scripture reading for today. Revelation 14 talks about the three angels' message, which is really the gospel, the everlasting gospel. In Revelation 14, we are told that for the hour of judgment has come. This will go to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. We know that in Revelation 14, the three angels' message says there's going to be an issue between the worship of the true God and the worship of the beast. There's going to be an issue between the true Sabbath and human tradition, Sunday worship. There's going to be an issue between the seal of God and the mark of the beast. We've been told this is going to come. So the gospel will go to the whole world, and the whole world will be stirred up. But how will the whole world stirred up? Something must happen in the global sense, whether it be economy, whether it be public health, whether it be environmental, something would happen in the world that God would stir the hearts of men and women to turn to God. But you know, the Bible already told us in this message of Revelation 14 that there'll be a choice. There's no sitting on the fence. There'll be a choice between the true worship and the false worship. And it will accumulate to something called a Sunday law, a law that will come not solely as a religious dogma. It will not come as a religious dogma, I don't believe. But it will ride on a broader social, global, economical, environmental, social justice issue. It will ride on that. That will be the driver of it all. You know, it will not come just purely because a religious authority will convince the government and say, let's put this law in place. No, there must be a global reason for that to happen. Let's turn our Bible again to Matthew chapter 24. I want to keep your finger there in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24 verse 7, the Bible tells us that the nation will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdom. And there will be famine, pestilence, and earthquake in various places. You know, we talk about pestilence already is in terms of the coronavirus. There will be famine. We see the locusts. We see the issue. We see famine would occur in continents like India, where people are starving. They had to quickly get out of the city. Those people who work on day-to-day living, that millions, hundreds of thousands had to try to get back to the home city. And this is creating such a major crisis in terms of the people. But let me pay attention to the first sentence. The first sentence says, for nations will rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdom. Now, why is it seen to be a repetition? If you study the Greek word for nation, it actually means ethnos. So really, the Bible is saying that ethnic group will rise against ethnic groups and kingdoms against kingdom, kingdoms being nations. So the Bible is telling us that there will be strife. There'll be issues like this in the end time. Matthew 24 is the chapter that talks about the signs of the end time. Ethnic racial tension begin to stir up in the city. We're seeing this happening even in our time now. I'm sure many of you have heard of Black Lives Matters, BLM, Black Lives Matters. You know, this movement has been around for a few years now, maybe about 6-7 years, but now recently it's taking prominence. But I want you to note some interesting news report about the Black Lives Matters. This is from America Magazine. America Magazine is a magazine of the Jesuit Society, the Jesuit Review, it says there. It's very interesting what it says about the Black Lives Matters. Remember, we're talking about how Sunday law will come on the riding on other social issues. It will not come because it's a religious dogma that will come. Notice what it says here. Black Lives Matters can teach Catholics about racial justice. I think it can teach racial justice for sure. We're all concerned about racial inequality and the injustice. I'm totally against that. I have experienced that when I grew up in countries that are intolerant to different racial groups. But one thing I note about this, this is a thing that's happening in the world that we live in. You notice that almost, it says here, let's read the book, almost everyone I spoke with agreed that the Catholic Church will not succeed in the work towards racial reconciliation unless the hierarchy enters into dialogue with the Black Lives Matter movement. So there is a call for the Catholic hierarchy to enter into discussion with the Black Lives Matters movement. Goes on to say by the Black Lives Matter, the founder of it, Ms. Graza, says, we welcome such a dialogue. The purpose of faith, I think, is to be connected to something bigger than yourself and to be able to carry out the agenda of that faith. Did you get that? The purpose of faith is to be connected to something bigger so you can carry out the agenda of that faith. You see, I don't see how the church can remain outside as significant as Black Lives Matter. It is a Christ-like movement. It's very interesting, isn't it? So this is an indication for us of what's prophetically happening in the world that we live in. Another quote, this is found in Life magazine, LifeSite magazine, LifeSite website. And it says, U.S. bishop caught funding radical groups supporting riot and calling for death to police. You know, there's a lot of riot in America, looting in some of the cities have been running for 90 days, almost 100 days now. And a new investigation have revealed that the bishops of the United States, through their Catholic Campaign of Human Development, are funding organizations that support riots and whose goals include not only defunding police, but even killing them. Now, this is very, very disturbing news. Very disturbing news. You know, we know that the church, our church's function is to save life and to provide equality and provide social welfare. That's the purpose. But not to fund things that destroy things, you know. Another quote says, Black Lives Matter is a spiritual movement, says the co-founder. You know, Black Lives Matter is not just a social justice movement. It is a spiritual movement. Do you know that when they have a protest and a gathering of the people, they read out the name of the folks that have been killed, the black folks that have been killed because of some of the brutality of injustice that's happening. And he goes on to say here, why do they do such thing? He says that Abdullah and Kulos touch on the practice of calling out the names of victims that they had advocated for in protest and demonstration. It is kind of a way to invoke their spirit, Abdullah said. Uplifting the names of the victim goes beyond creating hashtags, Kulos says. It is literally almost resurrecting a spirit so we can work through us to get the work that we need to get done. Did you get that? You know, so there is a spiritual element to this. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. My friends, there are things happening here. If only we can unveil, and the Bible does. The Bible unveils what's happening in the spiritual world so that we understand the time that we live in. We live in momentous time in Bible prophecy, and God is allowing this so that we study the Word of God and we compare what's happening in the news and happening in the media. We begin to unravel what is Satan doing through the different agencies. It's a spiritual movement, he says, to raise up the spirit. You know, but we know the Bible says the dead know nothing. The Bible says that. It's very clear. When you die, you sleep. Lazarus, for 4 days, didn't go up to heaven. He was asleep, and Jesus raised him up from the dead. So we don't believe in that teaching. The Bible is clear that we don't believe in it. But see the connection here. It's happening. You know, the Black African ancestors belief and the Catholic Commission of Saints, is there a concord or is there a conflict? You know, this report in the Southern Cross, the Southern African Catholic Weekly, shows that there is actually a concord, because the Catholics believe in sainthood, believe in praying for purgatory. And that's no different from the African ancestry worship that they believe to pray for their ancestors and so on. So I don't have time to read this, but you know, we are living in interesting time. We have to be careful and watch what is happening in the world. You see, the Sunday legislation will not come because, again, of religious dogma. It will ride on organizations and global issues to bring about the importance of it. It says here, all the Black Catholics whom I've questioned pray to the ancestors. There is mysterious invoking of the Spirit. All also pray to Jesus. It's very interesting how the mixture is going on here. So one of the issue is racial injustice. This is a global social issue. The second thing that will bring about is slavery. There's a concern about child slavery. There's concern about little girls being enslaved in prostitution. These are big things that Jesus hates as well. And so the organization like IJM that is fighting for this. So IJM is asking us to dedicate, all right, dedicate one Sunday at your church to end slavery. You see, attaching Sunday to a global cause is interesting here. And they are calling for us to deal with it by attaching it on 20th of September 2020. And it goes on to say, Freedom Sunday, churches all around the world come together as a united, hopeful, justice-driven community seeking to end modern slavery. Freedom Sunday is more than a day. It is more than a worship service. Freedom Sunday is a movement of hope. Did you get that? So this connection between VLM connecting with Freedom Sunday on the issue of this global issue, dealing another way to connect is to deal with the businesses. There is a call here where Catholic Bishop urged UK to preserve Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is a day of rest. A bishop urged Christian to speak out against the plan to relax Sunday trading law in the United Kingdom as the economy reels from the effects of the COVID virus, the coronavirus pandemic. So that's a call to say, let's preserve Sunday. Let's preserve Sunday. If degrading Sunday as a day of rest, a day of family, a day of community, a day of worship, marginally enhance our faltering economy, it will not be justified because of its deeper impact upon the human well-being. So we're talking about human well-being here, attaching Sunday to society well-being, family well-being, and so on. Here's another one that's happening in France. International Catholic News Weekly. This is 16th of June 2020. French Archbishop called for a monthly lockdown Sunday. You know, people actually saw the other side of coronavirus. They begin to hear the birds chirping in the air. They begin to see the blue skies in the city. You know, some cities have been smog-ridden for so many years, they don't even see the blue skies. But now they begin to see, and they begin to see the environmental benefit of this. And so they call, they say, why don't we just have a real day of rest on Sunday? Why don't we just have it once a month? It'd be great for the environment, great for the economy, and so on. So this is the kind of things that we will see is happening today. Another thing that's happening is the legislation, the rules that come with this. Coronavirus shows us how quickly civil liberty or religious liberty can go. Quickly. Right. Rules come into place, state of emergency, state of disaster declared, and there's rules that are in place that govern what we can and cannot do. This is in India, where the city police have made elaborate security arrangements for Sunday lockdown. So even in countries like this, this could happen. Even in Australia, we have seen this happen. Another one is the concept of blue laws. This is June 17. There is a call for us to value blue laws. Now, if you're not familiar with blue laws are basically Sunday trading laws that that is in some counties in America where you cannot trade on Sunday. And so there's a call to do that and to stop trading on those days because there's a benefit for the family, benefit for time together, benefit for society. A final one here, ecology, Catholic ecology, about environmental issue. This word, Laudato Si. Laudato Si is encyclical. Encyclical is a letter written by the highest authority in the Catholic Church. It carries a lot of authority. And encyclical is that Catholics have to accept the teaching and demands our loyalty and elicit our assent. That is a very important teaching. And this teaching is about environmental care for our planet Earth. And yet, there's a link to Sunday. In page 237, it says, Sunday, like the Jewish Sabbath, is meant to be a day which heals our relationship with God, with ourselves, with others, and with the world. Can you see? The Bible is telling us that we are living in interesting time. There are things that are happening in the world that allows to usher in the seal of God versus the mark of the beast. They will usher in whether it is the true Sabbath or it is a human tradition. We're seeing this happen now. So that's why the Bible says, nation will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom. The Bible goes on to say, are these all at the beginning of sorrows? Are we living in a time where it's the beginning of sorrows? Are we living in a time where God is stirring us and says, not be fearful, not be fearful. You're driving on the road with me. God is in control of the driving, the steering wheel. He is in charge. But he's showing us the landmark, all the signs that are happening before us, that we know how close we are to the destination. In Revelation chapter 11, and I wish we had time to expand on Revelation 11. Revelation 11 is a very important chapter to talk about what's going to happen as the judgment on the cities. As things get worse, as things in the city gets worse, there will be a time will come, there will be a judgment on the city. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, verse 13. And a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God, to the God of heaven. Now, what does that all mean? These are symbolic language. I wish I had time to go through Revelation 11, verse by verse with you. But if you want to do that, I want to encourage you to come with me on a journey of Bible study today at 5:30 as we close the Sabbath, as we study the Word of God. Come online. We're going to do a verse-by-verse study of Revelation 11. Why do I say this is an important chapter to study in context of the city? Why is it important in context on the changes that will happen in terms of the Sunday law that would happen in the country? Here's what Spirit Prophecy Council tells us. Out of the city is my message at this time. The Lord calls for his people to locate away from the cities. For in such an hour as ye think not, fire and brimstone will rain from heaven upon these cities. Proportionate to their sins will be their visitation. When one city is destroyed, let not our people regard this as a light affair. Let all who would understand the meaning of these things read the 11th chapter of Revelation. Read every verse and learn the things that are yet to take place in the city. We are admonished to study Revelation chapter 11. We're admonished to study it verse by verse because it tells us where the time that we live is living prophetically. It tells us in scripture the way marks that is going to happen to the city. But the key point is this, proportionate to their sins will be their visitation. The city will become a hotbed of vice, there'll be moral decay, there'll be anarchy, there'll be lawlessness, there'll be movement controls. We're tasting some of this already. And it will not be an attractive option. And we've been told to study Revelation 11. Well, this afternoon, 5:30, we'll study that more. But what I'm saying here is this. Revelation 11 talks about the two witnesses. I'm going to summarize this very quickly. Revelation 11 talks about two witnesses. That is the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. And they will proclaim to the city. But a power will rise against it. This power is the beast from the bottomless pit. And in Bible history and in world history, we know that this power that will rise against the Word of God is the French Revolution. And we saw this towards the end of the 1260-year prophecy. The French Revolution will come and kill the Word of God. The Bible will be burned. And indeed, there was a big gap between the rich and the poor. They hate the French aristocrats. The peasants revolted. And they say they don't want to have God anymore, but except they want to have reason. It became the age of reason. You know, all this came about during that time in history. And Spirit Prophecy tells us this very interesting time. The centralizing of the wealth and power, the vast combination of the enriching of the few at the expense of many. This happened before the French Revolution, between the aristocrats and the peasant mob. And the combination of enriching a few at the expense of many, the combination of the poorer class for the defense of their interests and claims. So this is the rise of the grassroots movements. One of the things is trade union and people movements. The spirit of unrest, the riot and bloodshed, the worldwide dissemination of the same teaching that led the French Revolution are tending to involve the whole world. Let me read again. The same teaching that led the French Revolution, all that are tending to involve the whole world, in the struggle similar to that which convulsed France. So what we're saying is that French Revolution, and the things that occurred there, as mentioned in Revelation chapter 11, will happen to the whole world as well. talking about wealth and power, I saw a very interesting news recently. And I think some of you are puzzled because, you know, you have your superannuation, you have your, and maybe some of them are invested in stock markets. The GDP of the Western nation, of the global economy, is dropping dramatically. This is like the red chart here. The advanced economy GDP has dropped since 2008, and this is what has happened since the coronavirus. But the interesting thing is that the world share index for the past 12 months is rising. It's rising. Now, that doesn't seem to make sense. When the GDP falls, you expect the stock market to fall as well. But there are two reasons. One is that there's a big, big subsidy going on. There's a big government, about $30 trillion worth of money being poured into the market at this moment. But the second reason is interesting. When you look at the big Western markets, you notice that the markets mainly is the one in the United States. United States, there's a big propping up of this market. And if you even look at the S&P index, the S&P 500, and the global shares is the red line, S&P 500, the blue line, it is actually six companies, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Facebook, Google, and Netflix. Their stock value and their total value has gone dramatically up. Interesting. James chapter 5 talks about the rich and the poor. 2 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the situation of the end time. That very similar, there'll be the gap between the rich and the poor is to a point where the grassroots are very unhappy. And they create this tension, and it became a racial tension, become an inequality tension. We're seeing this happening progressively around the world. And so the point is this. The final events that are happening in the world today that we live in, the final movement, Ellen White says in her counsel in Testimony Volume 9, page 11, she has a gift of prophecy. She wrote this in Testimony Volume 9, page 11. She says that the agencies of evil are combining their forces and are consolidating. They are strengthening, and for the great last crisis, great changes are soon to take place in our world. And the final movement will be a rapid one. Friends, if you forget anything today, I want you to remember one thing. The final movement will be rapid. It's a sprint to the end. It's not going to be a casual meander. It's going to be a sprint to the end because things will move rapidly. As you have seen, those of you living in Victoria, you have seen things change rapidly. If you study the Bible prophecy and study Spirit Prophecy Council, we're told that there are three phases that will happen. We're living here now. Delay may be possible. Yes, maybe there could be a vaccine that is safe and we'll go back to some kind of normality. Perhaps God give us more time to share the gospel. We need to run the race with patience in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says. But God may still call us to sell anytime, to get out of the cities. Because he's warning us, he's telling us the city will be a hotbed. There will be a judgment to come in the city. Like the French Revolution, there will be a judgment to come upon the city proportionate to the sins. There'll be a mild phase. We call it the prophetic time of no return. In last day's event, page 133 to 134. Take note of those. You have to read this. This is a prophetic time of no return. When the Sunday law is introduced, the national Sunday law is introduced in the United States, and how that we ride on top social justice, environmental issue for the society's good. It will ride on top of that, and it will come for the good of all mankind. It will be a sprint to the end. It's the last chance to get out. I don't know how long this period will be. We know it's going to be a short time, but we need to be prepared. But when we come to the final phase, when you have to make a choice between obeying these commands of man or the commands of God, and it comes with a penalty if you obey or you don't obey, there will be a severe phase where there's no more buying and no more selling, Revelation 13 verse 17 says. Persecution will intensify and you will move into a great time of trouble. You know, during this time, even though there are these three phases being mapped out, we need not worry. Because if our hearts are surrendered to Jesus, if our hearts, we believe we are saved by grace, and we are surrendered to Jesus every day, and we are prepared every day to meet the Lord, we have nothing to fear, because the Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says that that none should perish. God doesn't want, he's calling everybody to repentance. He wants everybody to be found in the kingdom of God. Like Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, we're on this journey where God is taking us to it's like a leap of faith. God is taking us on a journey. We're in his car. He's driving. He's showing all the way marks, the current phase, the mild phase, the severe phase. He's showing that to us, and we are blessed to know all this stuff. And it'll be remiss of us as the church leaders, as preachers of the word, not to share about Bible prophecy during this time. You don't want to just hear a few good sermon from the church to say, well, you know, be strong, be of good courage. Yes, these are important. But more importantly, we want to preach this message as well as the message of the way marks before us, that we know how to prepare. We don't just prepare by just sitting on our hands and say, well, we hope we'll get over to the other side. Things will be back to normal. No, that's not what God is showing us. Through the word of God, through Bible prophecy, God is showing us that the final events will be a rapid one. What are the signs to leave the city? Spirit of prophecy gives us this counsel. When our nations in its legislative council shall enact law to bind the conscience of man, in regarding to the religious privileges, enforcing Sunday observance, and bringing oppressive power to bear against those who keep the seventh day Sabbath, the law of God, our will to the intent and purpose to be made void in our land is America, and a national apostasy will be followed by national ruin. It will then be time to leave the large cities, preparatory to leave for the smaller ones. We know that's the time that is assigned for us. I wish we can study more on this, and as we come to study this series, as we open the word for the next 9 weeks, you're going to find hope. You're going to find courage. You're going to find the fact that Jesus is with you on this journey. But not only that, you're going to see God showing you all the waymarks and all the signboards, all the billboards as you drive along this way. And you will have confidence in the Word of God. You have confidence in Bible prophecy. You have confidence in Jesus because He's driving and taking us home. But in the meantime, I don't know what your struggles are, what your worries are. Surrender that to God. Whether you're worrying about your career and your future, maybe just in university and just graduating, surrender that to God. God will show you what industries to work in. Perhaps you have family and you're thinking, what about my house in the city? And what about debt that I had? How do I manage my finance in the coming years? God will show you. He's driving. He's driving the car, not you. Let him drive the car. Don't take the steering wheel from him. Pray to him. Guide you step by step. But study the word of God and study the Bible prophecy. Be clear what are the way marks so you can make informed decisions on what you do with your family and yourself. Well, what about my job? What industry should I work in? God will show you again. Likewise, we have nothing to fear for the future, unless we forgot the way the Lord has led us in the past. I can give you 4 very broad principles before I finish today. 4 principles in preparation. Number 1, simplify. Simplify, don't get entangled with things in assets and portfolios and investments. Simplify the things in your life. Simplify and focus on what is it that matters. Like, you know, it doesn't invoke any spiritual blessing, it's not something you need in the house. Simplify. The second thing I want to share with you is to get rid of debt. Do the snowball debt method. If you've done my Christian finance training, you know what I'm talking about. Reduction, sell, remove all those things as quickly as we can. Remove those debts because you don't want to get to a situation where you're caught out. Mm-hmm. Learn, develop some skills for country living. Don't be afraid to start a veggie garden. Don't be afraid to learn about woodwork. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Get in the workshop. Build some skills in the country living. Don't be so reliant on the technology, on the things that are in the city. Learn some skills. Develop another source of income, the 4th point. Develop other income. Perhaps you can work from home now. Consider this option. Take a stage-by-stage approach to move. I want to finish off by sharing the blessing of my place in Marysville. I know some of you have been there. It is God's blessing for Tina and I and our family. You know, when we came back to Australia after serving overseas for our work, we were looking to purchase a place in the city, a larger place in the city. But God in His wisdom told us this is not the way to go. And so we decided that we're going to have a portion of our assets to put it in the country, because we want to start to learn the skills and to not be dependent on city living. You know, you don't have to be a Christian to believe this. You know, secular people are making choices and making sea change and moving away. But we have a more compelling reason to consider a plan that is systematic. I'm not asking you to hastily do this. I think you need to plan systematically, but study the Word of God, study spirit prophecy, and plan it out. Several things to consider. Look for somewhere not too far away at this moment if you haven't lived in this country before. Perhaps some of you have grown up in the country, that's fine. You can look for further things away. But if it's too far, you may not be able to get there from the city at this moment. Maybe some of you have work or studies or kids studies in the city at this moment. Look for a small town with good utility at this moment. You may not be ready for off-grid living. You want to learn some more skills before that happens. We found a place that is very much lots of churches rather than new age crystal ball stuff. We were very thankful to find the place that we are in at this moment. Take a vacation there, stay there, and when the restriction is, and see what's like to live there and have a feel of the town. Don't try to get a size of a land that is way too big, that's unmanageable. You want to be able to learn as you go along. You don't want to be going up to the place and managing hundreds of acre and feeling the burden of managing all that, such that going up there is a burden. You want to be able to manage a size of land that you can learn from step by step. It's about learning, not just managing. If you're going up there just managing and not learning, it defeats the purpose. So learn skills in fire. I've been learning skills on fire, heating, managing trees, veggie gardens, water supply, solar power, batteries, off-grid. We're going to learn all this stuff. And over these years, God has shown us what a blessing has been. You know, whilst we serve in the ministries and serve in the city, to be able to go away for a few days a week, or a few days a fortnight, or in the early days, a few days a month, was like having a full restorative vacation. We can go away for 2 days and we feel restored and refreshed. There's something about nature. There is a blessing to have in nature. It's divine ideal. It is what God has given to us, a natural environment. It is a place where character can be easily developed, easier to develop than the influence of the city on our kids. It's certainly a place that we are physically better. We've been really blessed. And I hope that in today's message, you will plan, you will consider, you will start thinking in your financial planning, your future planning, and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Help me to study the Word of God more. Help me to study the way marks. Help me to understand what is happening in this world so that I can put it all the pieces together. Help me to be courageous. Not just only have hope that you will solve the world's problem, but to be courageous, that we'll be able to learn these skills and move forward. My friends, is that your desire today? I just pray that you will seek the Lord at this time. Talk together as a family. Pray together as a family. Say, Lord, prepare us for the time that lives in. We find courage and hope in Jesus Christ and His Word and His plans for us. Amen. Oh, now, thank God for the closing song. And I now would like to say a prayer. And as I pray, I ask the Lord to speak to you on what God wants you to do as the next step. Perhaps some of you need to study the Word of God more seriously and more intently, especially learning to read the counsel and spirit prophecy. Perhaps some of you have already done that and you need to look for a place and you begin to put plans in place. Whatever it is, God will speak to you today. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the counsel that you've given to us through the spirit of prophecy. We thank you, Father, that you show us the way marks. On top of the fact that you are not going to leave us nor forsake us. On top of the fact that you are giving us hope, but now you give us courage to make decisions. Decisions that will prepare ourselves and our family for the future. So Lord, I just pray for everyone here. As they think about their career, maybe they're just starting out from university. Maybe they're finishing up their course. As they think about that, may they surrender that to you. We think of the families, as thinking about the children needs, as thinking about their house needs and their work needs, may they surrender that to you. Put it on the altar. As they think about their extended family and their job, may they trust you to lead you. Oh Father, we surrender our lives to you again today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for caring for us now. We ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people say, Amen and Amen. God bless you. I pray that you have a blessed Sabbath day. I pray that you find peace during this time. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives, Jesus said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. May you have Jesus' peace this week. Amen.